Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
We are living in unprecedented times in which fear and iniquity abound. Fortunately, the perfect love of our God can cast out fear if we put our trust in Him instead of trusting in riches or worldly systems. Wealth, human government, and physical abilities will all fail one day. But our God is and will be faithful to provide for those that put their trust in Him forever. Please open your Bible to Psalm 49 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of Psalms 49 and 50.
Psalm 49 is written to the chief musician. It's a psalm for the sons of Korah. Psalms 48 and 46 are also to be given to the sons of Korah. And this is a psalm that reveals to us the folly of trusting in riches. Verse 1. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. All people share a common humanness. Whatever the race, whatever the social class, or even their beliefs. God has created one race, and that is the human race. And this psalm is a message to the human race, to every human being, low and high, rich and poor. James, in his first chapter, verse 9, says, let the brother of low degree rejoice, and that he is exalted. But the rich, and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. What this psalm is doing, and what will also be found in the next one, is God issuing a call to all mankind to hear. And the word hear means to really listen, to listen attentively. Let me ask you, how do you feel when you're talking to someone and they give you that deer in the headlights look, or they're ignoring what you're saying? Well, that's a shame in most cases. How much more tragic is it when God is speaking to us? The same call to hear is found in the first chapter of Proverbs, in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Jesus ends each of his letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, with the words, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. It's interesting that at the end of a few of the kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13, it is written in chapter 13, verse 35 about Jesus that he spoke these parables that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And what God is speaking to you and me tonight is the wisdom of God. It's the understanding of God. And note here the title. The musicians are going to play under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, while the vocalist gives them, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, gives to you and me something to think about. Verse 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. Why should I fear in the day of trouble or in the day of calamity? And he's talking about a time when evil people were ruling and they were using their money, they were using their position for evil. You and I are living in unprecedented times, beloved. And it is a time when people are gripped with fear, iniquity is abounding, and yet you and I, as children of the living God, have the promise that God's perfect love casts out fear. David, in Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my salvation and my light, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" Well, in verse 6, here's the people that are being rebuked, that need to hear. And maybe it's you tonight. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption." They that trust in their wealth, those who boast in the multitude of their riches. And again, as I said at the top of the message, the psalm calls out the foolishness and the futility of trusting in wealth. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, we read, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." You know that, and I know that. You look at that dollar bill, that $5 bill, that $20 bill, and in comes a bill from a utility company, and your money says, bye-bye, there it goes. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, Paul writes, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." The issue or the matter of trust. The trust here means to place your confidence in or to find security in. Listen to the prophet Jeremiah speaking on this topic of trust. Jeremiah 17, beginning of verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And so whether a person's life is blessed or cursed depends upon the object of his or her trust. Cursed is the individual that trusts in man, that trusts in the flesh. But blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose roots go down in their trust in the Lord. They will bring forth fruit. Their leaf will not wither. Notice in verses 7 through 9, we find the word redeem there in verse 7. None of them who, those that trust in their wealth or boast themselves in their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Now, in the daily life of the Jewish people, The word redeem was used to pay the price to release a person from trouble or death. But spiritually speaking, the word redeem is a word that is associated with atonement for sin and satisfaction of justice. And no matter how wealthy a person is, he or she cannot redeem either their soul or another soul. The amount of money that you have cannot lengthen your life. You cannot buy salvation. The redemption of our soul is precious. And since you cannot buy salvation, purgatory is a myth. It's not in the Bible. It's not taught by Christ. Peter wrote, "For we are redeemed, not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from the empty life which we used to live, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." You see, redemption, beloved, is a gift from God. The redemption of a soul. You can't buy your salvation. The sinless blood of Jesus was the one and only price for man's sin and the only sacrifice that could satisfy the justice of God. Verse 10, "For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others." Neither wealth nor any kind of human genius can save anybody from bereavement, ill health, financial disasters, relationship betrayals. It can't prevent you or me from dying. There is no ransom that can buy you out of death. Death is coming, and it will strip you of everything dear to you. I heard the story of a very wealthy man, and there was a long funeral procession to the place where he was going to be laid to rest. And two people asked, "I wonder how much he left behind." And one reply was, "Everything." Everything. When death comes, it will strip you of all of your possessions. Ecclesiastes tells us that death is an appointment that every person has. Spare those who will be alive when Jesus Christ comes to take us home. It's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And money and wealth are powerless in the fear of death. Job says we come into this world empty and we leave this world empty. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Their thought is that as the wealthy and those who boast themselves in the riches, that their houses shall continue forever, and the dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. It reminds me of the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 17. And Cain knew his wife. She conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. You know, there's a very interesting alternate translation of this verse that reads this way: "Their grave is their house forever, their dwelling place through all generations, though their names are celebrated over countries." And yet, look at verse 12. "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish." Like a domesticated cattle that is raised for slaughter, death is certain for all in Adam. And men or women who have held high positions will go into the grave and return to the dust just like everyone else. You know, death, my friends, is the great equalizer. And human beings die just like the animal kingdom die. That is one of the vanity messages that is repeated over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this their way is their folly. Those who boast in riches, those who live for wealth, those who live for possessions. It's folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. The New Living Translation puts it this way. This is the fate of fools, though they are remembered as being wise. There's a story in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, where God says to a wealthy man, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the Selah. Stop and ponder those things. Ponder those things. What a contrast of terminology. The currency in heaven as opposed to the currency here on earth. How God defines wealth. How the world defines wealth. How God defines prosperity opposed to how the world defines prosperity. The wealthy, those that boast themselves in riches apart from Christ. You can have riches and wealth and be a very godly man or a godly woman. But those who just live for wealth, live for possessions, live for the here and now, God is saying to them, it's folly. He's telling them, and maybe you will die. And in verse 14, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. The word grave here in the Hebrew is Sheol. It can refer to death, the abode of the departed wicked spirits. But grave is appropriate here. The rich, like sheep, are laid in Sheol or the grave. Or it can mean death is their shepherd. In other words, the grave is the habitation of every one of them. Many rich men and women are now suffering in hell for their sins without a single one of the comforts they enjoyed on earth. Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man or a woman if he shall gain the whole world and lose their own soul? You know, in this life, a person may spend a fortune in a beauty parlor, and a person may put on all kinds of lotions and powders and creams, but what he or she looked like after a few years in the grave is not a pretty sight. In fact, when the psalmist described someone living after the things of the world, he puts it this way in chapter 39, verse 11, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Now, for the person who trusts in the Lord, maybe the person with riches, with wealth, but they know that the riches and the wealth have been given to them by God, and they use those riches and that wealth for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. You see, the beauty of the gospel is that God does for man what man cannot do for himself. He redeems us from death. God will receive me. It's the same Hebrew word that was used when God received or took Enoch, when God received or took Elijah. And here it speaks of the anticipation of the child of God of being received and brought into God's glorious presence after death. J. Vernon McGee said, Selah indicates a pause at this point so that you can think over what you have read. God alone is able to redeem your soul. The important thing in this life is not whether you are rich or poor. In the final analysis, when you move out into eternity, the important thing is whether or not you are redeemed, whether or not you are a child of God through faith in Christ. Are you a child of God through faith in Christ? If you are, then you, my friend, have a relationship with God that outlives this life. Verse 16, be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. The NIV reads verse 16 this way, verses 16 and 17. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. You know, many people seek to build a legacy in life on material wealth and possessions. And how differently Jesus thinks and what he taught us. Notice the contrast. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What a contrast. Are you laying up treasures in heaven, my friends? Are you making those investments in heaven, in the kingdom of God, for things that are eternal? Now, back to those who live for themselves in verse 18. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise you when you do well to yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understands not is like the beasts that perish. What is it that they don't understand? Well, here it is. The truth and eternal value of the gospel of Jesus Christ in comparison to the shallow temporal value of wealth and riches and fame in this life. In Matthew 13, verse 23, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, realizes that there's a kingdom to come. And the person that hears and understands bears fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And again, we see the man that is in honor and understands not is like the beasts that perish. The man who isn't born again is living in a body conscious state like a beast, like an animal. All they think about is the here and now, the creature comforts, the creature and sensual pleasures apart from God. Man without God, without the Spirit being alive is just like a beast, and like a beast, you perish. But those who have been born again by the Spirit of Christ, who live and believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And here the psalmist says, God will revive my soul. I will be living with him forever. My friends, the greatest wealth that you and I can leave for our family is a life that has been lived for the glory of God and for the honor of Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.